Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Dangerous World Podcast here, recording early in the morning, early for me anyway. So my voice may sound, you know, like it needs some warming up, but we'll get there. We'll get there. I wanted to put this out. I mentioned on Friday, if you're a Instagram follower, Dangerous World Pod, I mentioned that I wanted to put out some episodes about controlled disinformation, misinformation, and AI's kind of role in that. I had posted something from a research project, I guess, or a movement. It's called something with disinformation order, like almost like New World Order. I don't have the file right in front of me here, but I'm going to do a couple follow-up episodes on this topic because I read a really interesting article and based a lot of this episode on this article. And it's from a cool website. I'm going to share the website with my Patreon subscribers. But there's tons of information on this website about AI and kind of the future that it holds for us humans. So I want to get right into it here. I'm not trying to do overly long episodes like I used to anymore. So a lot of the free portions here are going to be kind of shorter. Just because, like I said in the last episode, I really want to get more stuff out there for the supporters of the show because I love you guys so much. All the information there will be in the show notes if you want to support my show in any way. I'm not going to drone on about it because that shit's annoying to listen to. So let's get right into it here. Before starting, rather than ads or anything, I want to tell you about something, like, you know, just a small part of this whole thing. And the way that the CIA and the deep state are behind so many seemingly organic movements. And this fits right in with this episode. All these grassroots movements that they tell us, always be skeptical when you hear that something is grassroots. There are legitimate grassroots movements. They're usually not as well known. And actually a lot of, you know, true grassroots movements are going to be something that the government isn't really behind, right? They may pretend that they're not behind some things, but, you know, the example that I have right here, you'll see a lot of censorship online for the things that they're not about, is what I'm trying to say. Now, I don't know if you remember the Throwback Thursday thing, right? There's all these people bragging about their glow-ups, showing them old pictures. Look how fat I was as a kid. Now look how hot I am now. Things like that, right? Showing their old face, showing their old body, and then their new face, their new body after years and years, 20, 30, 40 years, right? The idea here, and there's a theory stating this, and I think this is just an incredibly interesting idea and very plausible, is that the CIA, along with big tech companies, right, that are creating facial recognition technology for the future, they wanted us to put old pictures of us side by side with new pictures of us, or old picture, slide over on Instagram, here's the new picture. They wanted us to do that so that they could gather this data to try to project how we would look in the future. If you use all these pieces of faces changing over several decades, you can project how that's going to look in the future on someone specific, or with all those pieces together, you can kind of get a general idea of how people age based off of where they are geographically, their habits, all these kinds of things. So something as simple and as innocent sounding as Throwback Thursday, I'm not saying is 100% part of a operation of some kind, but something as simple as that could be. And this isn't to be scared. This isn't to be like, oh, I can't even have fun on social media. Of course you can. You can do it. Just be aware of what's going on or what could potentially be going on. I thought that was incredibly interesting. Just something that I kind of came across as I was doing the research for this little episode here. But I don't know what you think about that. Kind of wild. And there may be a few jump cuts here a little bit just because this is during a workday for me, but we can still get this done. This is how it's going to have to be, okay, guys? Now, let's actually get into the meat of this episode. Disinformation can be thought of as the child of misinformation. I thought this was put really well when I found this. So misinformation is information that's incorrect but not deliberately so. It's either through misunderstanding or miscommunication, and misinformation grows the more that it's heard. People kind of, it's like the telephone game. People put their spin on misinformation because it's not concrete. The big thing here is that it's not intentional. Hence the miss, making a mistake, misjudging something. It's not intentional. It's just something that happened. It is still incorrect. It has the same effect as disinformation, which is the same thing, but as you've probably guessed, it's deliberately misinformative or disinformative. It's lies, straight up lying. And the goal to spread disinformation is to manipulate truth for some kind of specific end goal, getting a group or an individual or a nation even to think a certain way or do a certain thing because of something. COVID, I would argue, was disinformation. They might tell you it was an accident, which might be, you know, considered misinformation, but a lot of us were disinformed. It was not misinformed. So that's something to kind of know, and that's why they're not interchangeable. So you'll hear me throughout a lot of this episode saying mis and disinformation. You might think that it could be just categorized as one thing, but it's just simply not. They're two very different things. Same effect, but two different things. Now, this is important to understand. Words mean things. It's interesting, you know, to see, for you, it'll be very interesting to see if you can find people using these words, misinformation, disinformation. And if you hear like a talking head or somebody on TV saying that someone is misinforming the public, is that in their minds, or is that different than saying that they're disinforming? I mean, misinformation, you'll hear that word a lot. You won't hear disinformation too often. So you wonder if maybe that kind of plays into the hand of the way that these people speak on TV. Now, I want to go through this. I don't know. I've done episodes, too, on the Doomsday Clock from the Bulletin of Atomic Science. This is like a nice little cult. It seems very death culty when you look into their work. But in the 2020 Doomsday Clock statement by, again, this Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, they stated that the greatest dangers to humanity are, quote, compounded by a threat multiplier, cyber-enabled information warfare that undercuts society's ability to respond. Cyber-enabled information warfare. This is robots helping us lie to each other, or maybe lying to us as a whole. I'm drinking coffee here, so excuse me if I hiccup. I promise. I'm trying to hide it. You may hear some sips every once in a while, though. Now, when this PEW or Pew Research, I've never heard of these guys before, but Pew, it's capital P, lowercase EW, Pew Research, they canvassed 797 scientific experts, in quotes, on artificial intelligence in 2018. And one common theme between these 979 scientific experts was that AI could allow increased mayhem or further erosion of traditional socio-political structures and the possibility of great loss of lives, particularly due to the use of weaponized information, lies, propaganda, to dangerously destabilize human groups. Now, if you haven't thought of some kind of psychological operation that you can apply to these things, think of COVID. Throughout this episode, think of COVID and how it was used. Because I would say that that information was weaponized to not only cause a big division in society, But to get certain people to take vaccines or jabs, I guess I should say. Let's see if we can edit that out. I'll probably forget, but whatever. Getting certain people to take things, getting certain people to fall in line, and maybe seeing who is dumb enough to just go and line up for this thing and then brag about it like a freaking heroin addict. It's wild. But think about COVID. If you haven't, if maybe you've got another thing in mind that was a great, you know, psychological warfare operation that's been held on us here, right? It could be 9/11. It could be all kinds of other things, different wars. Depending on your age, you may have lived through certain ones, right? But COVID's the most recent and very fresh in our minds. So if you don't have one off the top of your head, think of COVID throughout this. Now, AI's role in this weaponizing of information is very, very misunderstood. And it's a greater threat, in my opinion, and from my research, from the opinion of this article that I read through, it seems like that's what they think. I vary greatly on the mass opinion or the major opinion of this writer. She seemed very pro-government, and it seems like she feels the government should step in more. And that's always a red flag for me. So even though there's some good information here, again, as always, take it with a grain of salt. It's important to do. Now, at this point, even though I'm planning on voting for this dude, right, you got to ask yourself, where does Trump fit in this whole fake news movement of really of 2016? It's continued on through. But where does the fake news idea fit into mis and disinformation? Fake news has been around forever. But Trump really woke up, and I don't mean to say wake up seriously, but he supposedly woke up, and maybe he did. Maybe it was actually like a lot of people woke up to this stuff. Not me personally. I think it kind of amplified the ideas that I had, maybe, right? I'm not trying to just be in denial here. Like, I think that there were some good things that Trump did, for sure. Like I said, I voted for him in 2020. First time I've ever voted, made me not want to ever do it again because of all the BS that went on with that. But I'm going to vote again because I think if we sit here and we just say voting doesn't matter and then we want to complain about high prices and things like that, at least if Trump gets in again and this shit doesn't change for the better, then maybe that'll hopefully wake up some of his cult followers, because he does have a cult following. He's got a legitimate following and a cult following. But back to the fake news thing. Where does he fit into the mis and disinformation? Because although a lot of people have woken up, there's been a lot more disinformation being put out there by people. And then people that just woke up and just found out about a lot of this stuff, just found out about the terms deep state and Bohemian Grove and you know, elite pedophiles and all this stuff. The people that just found out about this a couple years ago are now acting like they're experts in everything, and they post things and they have the nerve to tell you, do your research. And I used to be like this, because that's the thing. When you first start finding this stuff out and you think that you're privy to information that the masses aren't yet, you feel better. Like, you feel like, oh, these idiots just don't understand where we're coming from, right? But that's the worst way to think about this. So I'm going to be ranting a lot in this episode. I don't have a solid script here. I like to write out a lot of my episodes and stuff, like especially with facts and bullet points, but we're going a lot off the dome here, okay? Now, when Trump is sitting out here and he's waking people up to this, he has, like him or not, he has a cartoonish personality. He does some serious shit and he got a lot of great things done, but he's got a goofy personality. The impersonations, I mean, that's just one way that you can see that this guy has a very strong personality. And I would say it's kind of cartoonish. We memed about the fake news, right? We talked about fake news. We joked about fake news. We impersonated him saying fake news, fake news. My Trump impersonation is not good. But we didn't take it as serious. If it was someone more of a serious figure talking about this in a very serious manner, not just roasting people. Trump does a lot of roasting. That's like his shtick, right? He goes out there, he makes fun of the competition, calls them fat lesbians, idiots. You know, he does the retarded hand gestures and stuff. It's kind of a joking manner. He's saying very serious stuff, but he's saying it with a joking tone. And whether you are a supporter of him or not, you might not take it as serious as you should because of his delivery. So where does he fit into it? Yeah, making a lot of people aware of fake news, but maybe not in the most serious manner. And maybe we're not going to do anything about it because we have this badass dude that doesn't take no shit already talking about it. So what do we have to do in order to get involved? really nothing. I mean, the most powerful man in the world is on top of it. So let's just sit back and tweet about Black Lives Matter or the border crisis or whatever, because tweeting really fixes things, right? You don't have to get up and do anything when you can sit on your fat ass and tweet all day, okay? If you are part of that whole Trump movement, honestly, you like the offensiveness. You like pissing off the enemy or the other side because we're tougher than them. Our skin's thicker, right? They'll take that bullshit, though, and they'll scream and they'll punch the air and they'll act like psychos, but then they'll all come together when it comes time to vote on their shit and they'll get it done. So, I don't know. I think that it was very effective for the left to have Trump in office because look where we're at now. I mean, we are quickly moving into a communist country. So many problems right now. And yeah, what was 4 years to these people? What was 4 years? 4 years to us is a long time. I mean, think about having to do something bad for 4 years. Think about having to go to jail for 4 years, or prison, I should say, for 4 years. That's horrible. For them, it's nothing. 4 years, a considerable part of your life and mine, but it's nothing to these people. And it's not because they're immortal lizard people. It's because they work generationally. Right? Biden builds off of shit that maybe Trump did. Just think about that. Trump builds off shit that Obama did. Obama built off Bush, and so on. So it's nothing to these people. They're just slowly tiptoeing towards their goals. Something that's very, very fascinating among many things here with this mis and disinformation is how it spreads so much quicker than real information. And you have to wonder why that is. Why does this fantastical fake information spread so quickly when real information kind of stays? I mean, it grows much slower, right? Disinformation and misinformation is like a cancer. It just rapidly grows here. And I think it's because it's more entertaining. It's more, like I said, fantastical. It's something that you want to share, right? Talking about Hillary Clinton eating people, whether it's true or not, I don't know. I don't even really know what the hell is going on there, to be honest. She's been quiet lately, too. Or either that or I'm just not paying attention. But talking about stuff like that, it's fantastical. You know, the hell was that freak's name? The dude that worked with her. I mean, there's several dudes, but I can't talk and think at the same time. He was caught on some audio recording of him, like, beating a girl up. I can't think of his name. Someone out there knows what it is. Just, think of that in your head. But these people that do these horrible things, the whole Pedogate stuff, that was fantastical information. It was something that drew our attention. The Pizzagate stuff, whether it's real or not, I tend to believe in that stuff. But it spreads very quick, right? Something that's kind of boring and real doesn't spread as fast. So I think that could be why this stuff spreads so quickly. And what's interesting about that is the lies spreading quicker than truth. We think of ourselves here as humans, not as any race, but as humans, the human species. We think of ourselves as the supreme species here on Earth. You got to be careful when you use supreme and groups, but I'm talking about all of humanity, right? Humans think that they're better, for the most part, or higher evolved than other animals, right? But why do we fall subject to lies and manipulation so easily? Nature doesn't lie, right? So animals know when to migrate. They know when to hibernate. They don't get duped into unnatural patterns without artificial outside influences affecting their decisions. For example, birds, they fly. They know when to fly south for the winter, right? They know when to fly north for the summer. They know when to move. But they might get a little fucked up when there's chemtrails, there's weather manipulation, there's frequencies that are being blasted out there. That's not part of nature. That's something very unnatural. So these animals, as long as there's no outside interference, they know exactly what to do, how to think, how to be. Now, I am a religious person, but I do believe that humans fit into the category of animals. I don't know if that's a proper thought or anything, but we follow a lot of the same patterns from a DNA standpoint, I'll say, as animals do, right? I think, would know what to do if there wasn't any kind of outside influence. And the outside influence is artificial intelligence. It's technology. Technology as a whole has been tricking us away from doing natural shit. So I think that's why, another reason why we fall prey or victim or whatever you want to say to disinformation, right? Because there's an outside force manipulating us. Now, is that outside force kind of governed by some other dimensional species? That's for another topic, another conversation for another day. But it is happening. I mean, we can absolutely see that we're not acting as we naturally should. We're actually, a lot of times, we're doing the opposite of what we naturally would do. And this goes into people used to consume news and information through text, and that was the main way. It took some effort to get information. You had to read, right? Now that's moved into TV, which, yeah, you have to sit down and watch it at a certain time. Seemed a lot easier than reading, right? Reading the newspaper, reading the you know, fucking news magazine, whatever. I don't read. But sitting down at a certain time, watching a news program, that's moved to where we're at in 2024, that anyone with a phone in front of them or a computer can put out news, and they can seem credible to their audience as long as they've built up an audience. I know to like my biggest supporters, they trust a lot of things, if not everything that I say. They'll disagree. You know, I'm not at the level where I just have like this wild cult following like Joe Rogan or Alex Jones, some of these bigger names, right? I don't have these people that just blindly follow me, and I hope that I never get that, because that is a scary thought, and I think that you can't really get there and stay there without kind of promoting some of this disinformation. Maybe misinformation. Maybe they just misunderstand something and they put out lies on accident. I tend to think not. These are highly connected people in the case of Alex Jones and Joe Rogan. But even people that don't have podcasts, they can just post shit online, on Twitter, on Instagram, anywhere, and it can just be anything, and certain people are going to believe it. There's tons of deep fakes out there. There's tons of AI-generated texts and weird stories and articles that AI just created, and now it's out there, and people are running with it. So that's a very different thing. And because of this gravitation by the masses to a new medium of news intake here, older generations fall for this stuff a lot quicker, right? Maybe than some younger folks would. I mean, there's some pretty dumb young people out there too. But they grew up around it. Young people like my sister, who's, I think she's 19. I shouldn't know right off the bat, right? But she's 19 or 20. We'll go with 19. But she grew up with a phone in her hand, you know, not because my parents didn't, you know, care and they weren't present, right? But it's just, that's how this generation is. Now, my generation, we're a step ahead of that. I would say ahead instead of behind, because we had the experience of not having the phone for the first 10, maybe 15, 20 years of our lives, right? Now, the older generations really had a significant part of their life, more of their life, was without the phones and without this wild stage that we're in right now of, instead of ones and zeros of misinformation, truth and lies, ones and zeros, you get like decimals and fractions and shit when it comes to people that you trust very much and people that have built up their credibility over years, sprinkling in lies with nuggets of truth, right? Now, I kind of thought about it like this when I was thinking, like, why just because you're not around it? You have more life experience. You should be able to spot lies or manipulation easier than people that haven't been around. But think about it like this. Let's say you're a kid and your dad's a magician, like a nerd. Your dad's a magician and you've been around his magic tricks your whole life. He's even shown you how to do some of these things, right? You and your family move. You make some new friends. You bring the kids over to the house. The dad starts busting out magic tricks, and the kids all have their minds blown, right? But you know what's going on, right? It's because you know. You've been around this stuff. You've seen it before. You've been around the magic. And I think that this stuff, especially with the phone misinformation, is kind of a dark magic sort of thing going on. They're holding a veil over our heads. And so that's just the way I kind of broke it down in my own head, but it makes sense, right? If you're around something for your whole life, you can spot the bullshit a lot easier. And older folks just can't. You know, a lot of people... There was actually something funny yesterday. I went out to lunch with my parents, and we were talking about cutting our dog's nails, right? One of my dogs freaks out like she would, she thinks it's life and death when you go in there to try and cut one of her nails. She'll bite, she'll growl, she'll freaking flail around. And my mom showed us this video of this at this vet. They were feeding a dog peanut butter while cutting its nails, and she thought that everyone was singing a song to the dog about how brave the dog was. And she showed it to my sister, and right away my sister goes, "They're not singing that. That's just a song that's put over the video, right? You know, you can do that when you make a reel or whatever." And I'm going to be honest, not even I would have just thought that right away, but she knew that right away, right? Like I said, she's grown up. She's had a phone in her hand her whole life. So that to me is funny. Now, that's not a malicious lie, right? And it's not even lies at all. It's just, you know, it's a video that they edited together to make people laugh on the surface. I'm just kidding. But that's just a small example, right? There's all kinds of tiny little manipulation tactics that are out there that we don't even really think about, because who cares if they're really singing it or if it's a video, right? Just thought that was funny. And especially with, you know, older folks, they were used to watching well-produced news channels, right? News shows, people with suits and a nice production and all this stuff. And I'm not trying to pick on this individual, even though I can't stand her. I think that she's a you know, deliberately lying to people and misrepresenting herself. Candace Owens, right? I did a whole episode on how she was like a hardcore liberal, super pro-doxing. People would even say like alt-left before Trump got into office, and then she all of a sudden started supporting that. And she'll say, "Well, I just woke up." I don't know about that. Maybe. Again, not trying to pick on her, but I think this is why people like her and Charlie Kirk, and I pick on the people on the right more, because we know what we're getting from the left, right? We know that they're lying. We don't even give them the time of day. But these people try to pretend that they're not funded by the Koch brothers and whatnot, and the well-connected right, conservative politicians and these think tanks, right? I think that's why they set themselves up to look so professional. Podcasting started out as people very unprofessionally. Even Rogan's show started off him on the couch filming and doing just being stupid, right? Talking about aliens and MMA. Now he's got a full production. Everyone has full productions. Podcasting is supposed to be kind of gritty. It's not supposed to be all put together and buttoned up. And these bad actors started finding out that podcasting is rapidly taking away viewership from our established brainwashing tactics. So we need to infiltrate podcasting at all levels and make it look more like what we used to do, so that people of the old days will tune in to podcasts. You know, everybody knows an older person that listens to podcasts or watches them. It's kind of like, for them, it might be nostalgic listening to radio, like getting news from radio. Now, older or younger kids, I should say, they're getting back into that. It's just a different method. But it, like I said, it's been so hijacked that it's essentially the same damn thing. I don't know if it makes much sense to you as it does in my brain talking about it like this, but I'm trying to say that we are dealing with just a very subtle level of manipulation. It's not the ones and zeros, as I mentioned. It's fractions and decimals. It's not the Walter Cronkite days. That was like ones and zeros. The lies were controlled by a single source, or maybe like a few sources. Maybe there's a couple high level sources that they agree to disagree, but as long as we can control the message, I think that we'll be all right, right? That's what they're thinking. Now, moving on a little bit here, there's this 2017 Gallup poll that says Americans are more skeptical of news sources than ever. And although this is the case, 58% found it harder to be well-informed, and less Americans believed that there were enough sources to sort out facts. A lot of Americans, well, not a lot, but a good amount of Americans, want more fact-checking sources. Why? Why does the information that you take in have to be checked for you? Isn't that your job to check it? So that's kind of concerning. That this is in 2017, right, when Trump wins the election, right? Weird time in the country for sure. I liked it, but, you know, weird time, interesting times, definitely. I won't deny that. Why do we need more fact checkers? I think we need less. And I'll get to that point more later. But it's a scary thought. These fact checkers, they're tyrannical, and they just, that poll alone seems to be helping us move in the direction that would host some kind of ministry of truth. Like, this is 1984. Animal Farm, take your favorite dystopian story and just plug it in. It's Idiocracy. We can't think for ourselves. We need fact checkers to take in information. I think the opposite is true. I think that we need far less of that, and we need more people just having discussions. You can have discussions with your friends and your family, and you can come to the real conclusion. Or if not the real conclusion, the one that suits you and your friends and family more. You don't have to be told how to think. Obviously, a lot of us know that, but I mean, shit. It seems like we're drifting in the wrong direction here. I would actually venture to say that a lot of people, even listening to the show, wouldn't mind if there was fact checkers that agreed with you, right? If, you know, the MAGA party set up fact checkers and those facts agreed with you. The COVID-19 vaccine is bad for your health. You would blindly agree with that, probably. I would agree with it, but I've also done a lot of research on this stuff. I've taken in a lot of sources that I trust that say that same thing and that agree with me. But no one should be telling us any of this stuff, right? Obviously, there needs to be some health regulation and stuff like that, I would think. But I don't know. That's a rabbit hole, because a lot of that stuff comes from our food and just the way that we treat ourselves. So, you know, maybe we wouldn't even need many hospitals, and it wouldn't be a trillion-dollar industry if, you know, we were just kind of putting better things in our body. But that's, again, another conversation. I told you the rants were coming and the sidestepping. I can't just get through a topic. But there's power in saying, I don't know, if someone asks you a question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. You know, you don't have to seem like an expert. And I think that's something else that podcasting and, like, you know, it may be an unintended effect of Rogan, right? This bro-y type dude that just seems to have all the answers, right? And everyone's an expert on everything. Instead of just saying, I don't know. Let me find that answer for you. I'm not sure. I don't know. People feel like a cuck when they say, I don't know, or something. I don't know. I just said it again. But it's important to just say you don't know something. You don't need to have the answers. And oftentimes these experts don't have the answers. They're just spitting out some information to continue their credibility. Fauci is a prime example of that. I'm going to take a sip of coffee here. The big problem for the powers that be in this misinformation lowers the consumer's trust in credible news sources, right? Or in plain English, if the consumer starts trusting Dangerous World Podcast or My Third Eye Podcast, Great Deception Podcast, God forbid, then they would trust these sources more than CNN or Fox. How can we keep a grip on the cattle, aka you and your family and the people that you care about, even the people that you don't care about? You're the cattle in this analogy here. If you start trusting other sources more than their regulated sources, you aren't going to be as good of a slave, right? You're not going to just put your head down and work and try to feed your family, barely doing so, by the way, and barely getting by with only a couple hundred dollars in the bank, if you're lucky, all these things, right? You're not going to trust the system as much if you're not following our sources. And that's where it gets back to the idea of the ones and zeros. There's even these podcasts, this whole podcast movement, and the alternate truth, alternate fact movement is a giant psyop to make us feel empowered, in my opinion, because there are so many lies still. All right, that is the free portion of the episode, another 30 minutes or so, over on patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Getting a little deeper into this topic here, and then, as mentioned, there will be another episode later on this week diving into more specifics. So hope to see you there. Thanks for the support.